Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's that time again. Time to worship the Lord. I encourage you to just let your heart be opened wide right now, just to receive everything that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit have for you. That God is ready to invade your space if you give him the opportunity. Lord, we do. We just invite you to work in our lives in a significant way here today. Lord, as we draw near to you, Lord, your word says that you will draw near to us. So, Lord, we choose, Lord, to come before your throne of grace, Lord, where we can find mercy and help in time of need. We choose, Lord, to set our eyes on you, Lord, and away from the things of the world, the distractions of this life, and set our gaze and our fixed our eyes on you, Lord, the author and the giver of life. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our adoration. Jesus, we're grateful that you have given us eternal life. We're grateful, Lord, that you've given us a new life. Lord, you've taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the light of your Son. And Lord, we just rejoice in that. We just glory in that today. The fact that we are in the kingdom of God. We are of God. And we are from God. And God lives in us. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment. Let's just thank Jesus for what he's done in your life. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your love in our life. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in our life. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies in our life. Thank you, Lord, that you've never stopped working in our lives, Lord. Even when we don't know it and we don't feel it, Lord, you've never stopped working. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's just keep putting praise in our lips this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Never fail.
That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, and my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, and my Savior, the one who will never. Everything because of your greatness, because of your goodness. God, I thank you that when we seek you out, we find you. We don't need to say a special prayer. We don't need to do a special act. We just need to seek you. And as children, when we seek you, we find a father. We find a loving father. Right now in this space, I just pray, God, that these would be people, God, that we would be people, that we would seek you. We would seek your face today. We would seek your presence today, God. Lord, you know our needs, God. However, there's something so powerful that happens when we seek you, when we seek you in your need, when we seek you in our want, God. We lift you up today, God. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you, Lord, that you're willing to meet us right where we are, God. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Of my heart be the mountain where I
At you that it appears that he's let you down, but that is not the truth. That is a lie. I heard this week that Patrick and Debbie had a loss in their family. Their eldest son, Elijah, passed away. And so I'd like us to just take a moment and just pray for that family. because I'm sure right now they're questioning some of those truths. We want to make sure that they stay strong in the Lord, are able to comfort all the rest of the family, because they have the wisdom of heaven. Father, we just lift Patrick and Debbie, God, and the entire family before your throne of grace. And God, we just pray right now, Lord, that your hand of mercy and peace and comfort would just overshadow them in such a way, Lord, that they are just encompassed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the one that gives peace in the storm. You're the one that speaks peace to the storm. So right now, Lord, we just ask you to speak peace to the storm that's going on in this family's life. Lord, we know that what the enemy means for evil, God, you can change to good. So, Lord, we pray right now, God, that the good that you intend for this situation to manifest. Lord, we pray for wisdom for Patrick and Debbie, God, and just your grace to rest upon them as they communicate to the rest of the family. Lord, and we just thank you, God, that they are yours and you are theirs, Lord, and that they can put their hope and their trust in you even during this difficult time. Thank you, Jesus. And right now, Lord, we lift Vicky before your throne of grace. We don't know what's going on with her, but she said she felt like a Mack truck hit her. So, Lord, we just pray right now that you would just intercede into that situation with your healing power, with your grace, with your strength, with the vitality that comes from the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised you from the dead. Let it give life to her mortal body right now in Jesus' name. We pray for all those in this place or listening online or any of that we don't know about that are sick, Lord, in body. We pray, God, that your healing power, Lord, that healing power that is part of the work of the cross, that by your stripes we are healed, would manifest in people's lives, Lord. I pray that over my back right now, Lord. Let your healing power, Lord, just right now touch me from heaven and just continue to bring restoration, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We just thank you, God, that you are good. You're good. Whoa. Yes, you're good. We're grateful that you're good. You're a good, good Father. Let that reality sink over us, set into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love someone, greet on them, and we'll see you in a few minutes. Thank you, team.
Good morning, everybody. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to do our declarations over the Yakima Valley. And yeah, we love the valley. We love what God's doing. And what I love the most is that as God's people, we get to be full of hope, even where there is no hope, or where the world says there's no hope. And regardless of what the news says, regardless of what people say, people that have left Yakima, if they don't love it, they can stay away in Jesus' name. So let's say this together. Let's go to that first slide, Jonah. Let's say this together on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. So, Father, we just lift up, Lord, our valley. We lift up, God, all the people that call this place home, God. We lift up, Lord, all the businesses, God. We lift up, Lord, all the politicians, all the people that make decisions that impact our city, God. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless them, God, with the mind of heaven, God, with the mind of Christ. And we thank you, Jesus, Lord, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And so we just declare, God, your goodness over the valley, over the lower valley, over the upper valley, over Natchez, over Titan, God, over all the places, Lord, that are considered the valley. We just thank you, Jesus, that you have placed your people here in this place to make an impact in this valley. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. You guys can be seated. The slide didn't get put in there, but we do have a men's barbecue. The 20th. Okay, the 20th at 6:30 p.m., not a.m. It's a Wednesday at the Villalobos' house, and the week of, Pastor will send out a text. And again, as I always say, men, let's make this a priority. Let's gather together. Let's invite our friends. Let's invite our coworkers, our families, people who don't have a place to call home. And so that's the 20th. Put that in your calendar. But again, Pastor will send out a reminder the week of. And then thank you for giving. Do we do this before the children? Right now. All right. Let's bless the children. Where are our children? Leanna Teagan, you guys come up. We're going to pray for you guys. All right. Well, God, we thank you so much for these young world changers and history makers. We thank you, Jesus, that the same Holy Spirit that we adults have, they have. We thank you, Jesus, that you're blessing them, that you're with them, God. And we just continue to pray, Lord, for our children's ministry, Lord, as you grow it, God, as you sustain it, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you're blessing, Lord, these little ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then, thank you guys for giving. Thank you for the offering, the tithe. You guys know where you can give, in the back or in this box. And just thank you for continuing to bless the house of God. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Is everyone doing good?
Yes.
One person is gay. Is everyone doing good?
Yes.
There we go. There we go. If you're not, you can let us know as well. Like, no, ready for this to be done. No, I'm kidding. I asked Gay if she would
sit
by me today and bring me comfort and support and and security. No, she has... great wisdom of the Lord, and she's always bringing truth. And she actually received something that she'll share towards the end. How many of you read Jesus Calling? Two people? Three? Four? Five? Okay. Well, on Saturdays, Jesus Calling. Was that yesterday? That was yesterday? Fridays, Jesus Calling. Sorry. Fridays, Jesus Calling. I read a scripture and that was in the Jesus Calling that was the day. And it really just spoke to me. And I pondered on it, thought about it. And it may have been yesterday. It's the time flies when you're having fun, right? But when I read it, I said, oh, this is really good. And, you know, it ministered to me. Now, I've been walking with the Lord for over, 46 years now. So long time. Yeah. Older than some of you. Been alive, these truths, these realities, I always have to remind myself about, because it's easy to get into a mode where you are not realizing all that Jesus did for us, that you're not really capturing the work of the cross and the work of our ability to come before the Father in full confidence and full assurance. And so when I read that Jesus Calling, it gave me this statement: standing right before God. And it's kind of a play on words. I like play on words because it helps you remember things. But yeah, standing right before God. We can stand right before God. In other words, we can stand right before Him. In other words, in a position of standing before Him. But also, we can be standing right in a righteousness. We can be standing in a holiness. We can be standing in a right standing with Him, where we can easily and effortlessly approach Him. Obviously, with reverent hearts. Obviously, with a heart of honoring Him and respecting Him. And yes, a fear of the Lord. But it's also not a fear of the Lord that He's going to crush us, that He's going to cast us off, because we're not lining up with every single thing that we think in our own minds of how we need to be acting a certain way, and how we need to be keeping ourselves in righteousness, because it's impossible. We cannot remain in our own. We can't let our righteousness be what allows us to go before him. So hopefully we'll be able to communicate that, both of us. Unfortunately, a lot of times, a lot of us feel this way, that the throne is way, way back there and that we don't even deserve to go there. That our garments are stained and soiled and tattered and that he wouldn't receive us because of that condition that we're in. But it's that very condition that he ran after. Wow. That's the very condition that he embraced the world for. It wasn't that we were, you know, spotless and beautiful, and he just, you know, brought us into his kingdom so he could show us off as trophies. No, he redeemed us. That means he bought us from the condition that we were in and made us into a new condition. But I do want to let us see that in the Old Testament, there was a mindset that was on mankind because of the fall of Adam and Eve, and it carried all the way to the cross. Go ahead, read, babe.
Psalm 14, 1 through 3, New Living Translation. For the choir director, a Psalm of David. Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt, and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. But no, all have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one.
Now this is David, you know, the one who loved Jesus, the one who loved God, the one who, you know, worshiped him and also had, you know, his faults and shortcomings. And this may have been one of his darker times that he wrote this. But really, the scriptures say that in us is really nothing good at all. In us, there's nothing that really desires to seek God. Whatever caused you to desire to seek God at some point was God. It wasn't you. You may say, oh, no, I changed my mind. No, God's grace helped you change your mind. I said, whatever brought you to God and got you to approach God wasn't you, it was God. It says it was God in you who works and to do his good pleasure. So it's actually God who draws us to himself. Mm-hmm. If you're praying for somebody, pray for the scales of their eyes to be removed, the lies of the enemies to be removed, the stumbling blocks from their lives to be removed, and that God would draw them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't just do good just to have everything removed. You need God to draw, to be drawn to God so that you can receive that grace that's waiting for you. Romans 3,
10 through 11, New King James Version. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God.
How many is none?
Zero.
Zero. There's none. So there's none who seeks after God. Well, I sought after God. That's because God did something. He intervened to get you to seek him. A lot of us think, oh, well, you know, I got to the lowest part of life and I finally decided to look up to God and I finally decided to receive him into my life. And it's like, I chose. No, you didn't. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He was very clear to his disciples. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I've appointed you to go and minister to the world. He chose you. You are a chosen vessel. All right. Here's another verse. Isaiah 53:6.
All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all.
And then Ecclesiastes 7:20.
Yeah. 7:20. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin.
I mean, that's like three or four witnesses we're already getting that's communicating this idea that there's no one on earth that deserves to be called righteous or good. There's not one. Except what? The one who made it so that we now have a second chapter of our lives, so to speak. Isaiah 64:4-8.
For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. You welcome those who gladly do good, who follow godly ways, but you have been very angry with us, for we are not godly. We are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? For we all infected and impure with we are all infected and impure from sin.
And then it keeps going.
He didn't tell me that I was going to be reading 80 scriptures.
You've seen my
when he
messages.
Asked me to come and sit with them.
I have verses.
Just saying. When we displayed our righteous deeds, there are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. And yet, O Lord, you are God. You are the clay, or we are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand.
This is the prophet Isaiah, and he's communicating this reality again, that there's no one good, there's not one, and even that our righteous deeds, the righteous deeds that we do. In other words, the things that we do that we should be saying, wow, we're righteous. They're like filthy rags before God. They're like of no value at all, because they do not amount to his righteousness. His righteousness is so glorious, so mighty, so powerful that the heavens can't contain his righteousness, just as it can't contain his love. His righteousness is beyond even our comprehension. And so our righteousness compared, you know, and good deeds. I'm talking about loving people, you know, feeding the poor. I'm talking about, you know, being kind, you know, and showing that character and nature of Jesus.
What if we make it a little bit closer to home? What about the worship leader? What about the children's worker? What about the pastor?
There you go. Kick me while I'm down. Yep, that's
Sorry.
Good. What? It's all love.
That's right. Ernie.
That's truth. Again, yeah. My deeds,
like filthy rags.
The years that I've been serving him, it says nothing compared to what he's accomplished in us.
Right.
And that way, when we get to the next phase of this message, we'll see why we can go boldly before the throne of grace. Because right now, it doesn't look like we have much of a chance, does it, in this state? Got one more verse, and then I've got some hope for all of us.
Psalm 24, 3-5, New King James Version. Who may ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
This is a verse that is troubled. I'm speaking for Jesse. He's communicated this to me a few times, how it says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place? And it's this clean hands, pure heart. I mean, pure heart, does that mean like you don't get mad at people who cut you off? Does that mean that you don't get mad at your boss who speaks, you know, poorly to you or doesn't treat you kindly, or your spouse or your kids hasn't lifted up his soul to an idol? In other words, you haven't connected with anything on this life, and it's grabbed you for a while, and it's turned your eyes away from the Lord, or sworn deceitfully. I mean, it's a pretty high standard that's being laid here.
Yeah.
And I think what it's doing, it should be discounting almost everyone, is what's happening here. The only thing that allowed the priest to go into the Holy of Holies, which we'll talk about in a minute, was this blood atonement that he had to sacrifice for himself. He prepared himself for a week so that he could go into this place, not because of his own righteousness, but because of blood of an animal. And that blood of the animal represented our Lord and Savior's blood on the cross.
And if the priest had to go through all of that and he still wasn't really considered clean, what help was there for the rest of us low lives?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, really, if you think about it.
Yep. So now, the good part. We heard how we can not in any of our own righteousness stand before God. We heard how nothing that we can do really measures up to God's righteousness and goodness. And we don't even seek God in our own self. We're not even, there's nothing good in us. You know, it says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. The unredeemed heart especially is deceitfully wicked. When it's redeemed and it's in Christ, guess what? It can be holy. It can be righteous. And we'll see that. So let's look at a start of an encouraging verse. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 61.
10, New King James Version. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
Amen. So, Eric, come on up here. So this is not what happened. Eric did not go into his closet right here. It's right behind you. Go in your closet and grab some clothes and put them on. And that made him righteous. No, what happened is Eric had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit clothe him. He himself clothed us. In other words, Eric had no part in this clothing of this righteousness. It was God's work. He didn't go into some righteous closet and put it on himself. There's nothing that he can do himself to receive these robes of righteousness and this garment of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. Because sometimes we think, oh, yeah, I'm clothed in righteousness. I'm clothed in garments of salvation. And it's he has. You got to remember, he has done it.
Yeah.
Who has done it? Why is this in Isaiah 61? This is even before the cross, because this is a prophetic statement of Messiah. He has. And get it, it's in the past tense, even in Isaiah. Mm-hmm. It's because Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah, that's good.
That power was already at work. It just hadn't been finished. Yeah. Jesus hadn't accomplished it. But in God's eyes, it was already working in the earth. When he saw mankind, they were still, I guess, seen as Jesus was going to work for them and work for us in the future, past, present, and future. Jesus' blood sanctified and cleansed all of mankind. All right, here's another verse. John 19, 28 through 30.
New King James Version. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with the sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. What are the all things? Well, some people say, well, it was his life. You know, he was born as a baby. You know, he grew up. He had ministry. You know, he fed the 5,000. He did all these things. No, that's not what the all things are. The all things are so much greater and so much bigger than just his human ministry. His human ministry was a culmination of revealing God to mankind. And then the ultimate act was to release mankind to come back to God.
Yeah.
And that's what he meant when he said, it is finished. And I'll show you right now.
Matthew 27, 50 through 51, New Living Translation. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart.
And Hebrews 9:3 says this.
Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the Most Holy Place.
This was called the Holy of Holies. And I told you the priest had to prepare himself a week before he would go in there. The priest actually had a rope tied to them in case they died so they could be pulled out and get the next one to go in to finish.
Died from their unrighteousness.
Died from not preparing themselves properly or whatever it is. But that's how much this holy place was unapproachable. What happened when Jesus says it is finished? John says that. It says that at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two. The curtain between the Holy of Holies and all of creation was torn in two. In other words, what kept man from approaching the throne of God, so to speak, was abolished. Can you imagine being the temple workers and the priests, and they see this thing happen? I mean,
in real time.
Yeah, and the curtain potentially was, you know, it's not validated because we don't know, we don't have one, but it was inches thick. It was like multi layers. I heard somebody say it was 6 inches thick. I don't even know how they would move it. And from the top, so no one could say, well, it was cut from the bottom up. No, from the top to the bottom, it was ripped wide open. And now at this time, I want you to hear a song. It's an old song. I don't know if many of you heard it. But how many know the song Amazing Grace? And how you feel when you hear that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet, you know, the sound, saved a wretch like me. And a lot of people get really, really touched with that one. And I do too. But this song has always touched me. I mean, I prepared the video and listened to different renditions and just, you know, to prepare my heart. And I was like tearing up every single time. So this will have the words. I want you to read this word. Now think of this. This is kind of depicting, not necessarily the exact way that we're going, but it's talking about this event that took place where this curtain was torn in two and what it meant for you and for me. Amen? All right.
Never meant to.
Mercy came running. God came running. His love came running. And it went beyond our own ability to receive it. went beyond our own ability, even times, to believe it. You know, he loves us so much. And it says that God demonstrated that love for us. In other words, God put on demonstration for the whole world Jesus on the cross. He says, this is how much I love the world. That my son is hanging for you. That his blood is going to redeem you and purchase you and make you righteous so that you can fully have access back to me. I love that line that mercy was peeking out, just waiting for the moment. God was just, I mean, heaven was waiting for that moment that they could start rejoicing over one sinner that gave his heart to Christ. Because it says that. It says that all heaven rejoices over one sinner who gives his heart to Christ. Romans 9:10
For if with your lips you acknowledge the fact that Jesus is Lord, and in your hearts you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For in their hearts, people exercise the faith that leads to right standing. And with their lips, they make the acknowledgement, which means salvation.
With their hearts, they believe by faith. And it leads us to right standing. We'll read another verse in a moment, but it talks about us literally having Christ's righteousness, not our own righteousness, but the right standing that comes from believing the work that Jesus did. And I don't even know how I came to fully believing, because for years I didn't believe. People would tell me the story and it seemed like a myth, like something from the Greek mythology. And yet at some point God made it so I could believe, so that I could see, so that I could hear, and then even confess that Jesus is my Savior.
He peeked at you.
He peeked at me. Mercy came running like a prisoner set free. Romans 3.
21 through 22. But now God's way of giving men right standing with himself has come to light, a way without connection with the law, and yet a way to which the law and the prophets testify. God's own way of giving men right standing with himself is through faith in Jesus Christ. It is for everyone who has faith, for no distinction at all is made.
Praise God. No distinction. He doesn't care what nationality you're from, or race, or religion, or whether you're male or female, or whether you're the president of the United States or a janitor in a lowly school, or even a homeless person on the street. There's no distinction. God is giving right standing to all mankind through himself, through Jesus Christ, and us having faith, just simple faith, in what he did was real and true. Romans 5.
17 through 21. For if by the one man's defense.
Offense.
Let's try it again. Third time's charm. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's obedience many
disobedience.
Were For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous.
Be made righteous. We're made in good standing to be a right standing before God, that we can stand right before God the Father. And it's through Jesus Christ's act of obedience. Adam's act of disobedience, Eve's act of disobedience made us unrighteous. Christ's act of obedience, where he finally says, "It is finished," makes us righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You should memorize this one. I mean, in whatever translation you like, but this is something you should memorize because this is a reality and a truth to your Christianity.
5:21, New King James Version. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Just pause for a moment. For he made him who knew no sin, sin for us. So Jesus on the cross became sin who knew no sin. He became the curse. The curse was the fall of mankind. The curse was all of the things that were to go along with the curse. You know, children being born in a very difficult situation for women, men having by the sweat of their brow, having to, you know, till the earth. And that curse went beyond that because it went into our very soul and being, and we turned our hearts toward away from God. And yet Jesus became the curse as he hung on the tree, became sin who knew no sin. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he became sin so that we could become righteous. And not our own righteousness, his righteousness. Go ahead, NLT.
For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
So that we could be made right with God through Christ. And then the Williams.
He made him who personally knew nothing of sin to be a sin offering for us, so that through union with him, we might come into the right standing with God.
It gives us, and this work of the cross gives us the opportunity to be righteous, to stand right before God. Not in our own righteousness, not in our own deeds, not in our own effort, not even in our own passion for him. It's because of what Jesus did. It's all about Jesus. Jesus started the work in you, and he'll be the one who finishes the work in you. I think I just lost the... Okay, keep going. So, Kay has something to share.
So yesterday... Sorry, that's an old song. I have been putting clips on Sunday mornings, just a little short 2 to 4 minute clip thing that I just feel that the Lord is speaking to me, and I love doing it. Like, I think I did the fourth one this morning, and it was so fun. I really like it. So I've been getting these ones that are that come to you because of the way that you're...
It's called the algorithm.
Yeah, that would be it. And
knowing you.
Yes, unfortunately. And there was this sweet little man that was sitting on a couch, and he started talking, and he said, "Please don't ask me to judge the alcoholic, because I've been there. And please don't ask me to judge the drug addict, because I've been there." He said, "God won't let us identify with the things that we've struggled with. And throughout it all, he still calls us by our name. We're not the things that we've done, and no one can label us by our mistakes. We are so much bigger than the disappointments of our past and the not-so-pretty moments of our present. In this world of perfect people that have it so put together, just remember God, the God of the universe, the only one that can save. God loves you, and God calls you by name.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to be righteous and to stand in righteousness before you. And Jesus, we thank you that you're the one that made this way possible, that we could come before the throne of God, the throne of grace, any time of day, night, not when we're just at church, not when we're in a spiritual mood, not when we're being all perfect in our behavior. But Lord, anytime we have an opportunity to find mercy and help in time of need. Lord, we thank you that mercy came running for all of us. That what we did not deserve, you gave us. And what we deserved, you took upon yourself. Lord, that we are the righteousness of God in you, because you became sin who knew no sin. Help us live a life, Lord, truly in response to that great work of the cross that shows the value that we realize and the cost that it cost you by the way we live. Jesus' name.
Savior, one who will never.
love us enough to give us Jesus. Jesse sent me the complete Jewish Bible translation of Romans 10, 9, and 10. It says, if you acknowledge publicly with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and trust in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be delivered. For with the heart, one goes on trusting and thus continues toward righteousness, while with the mouth, one keeps on making public acknowledgement and thus continues towards deliverance. It's a process. None of us arrive until we arrive before him. It's a pilgrim's progress. It's a walk. But if we continue to let God's grace work on our lives, and that's his supernatural empowerment to enable us to do things that we can't do in our own strength, and we'll remain in that righteousness, because his righteousness is what he's given us freely if we receive it freely. Amen. Amen. Love you. Have a great week. All of you who are going to camp, be blessed and enjoy what God's going to do in your life, because it's going to be amazing.